RNN.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means.
Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel.
Tonight's featured show is Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. Welcome to the Republic News Network for our live national broadcast. You may call me Kelby, and tonight I'm going to be acting as your moderator. The RNN, which stands for the Republic News Network, has been doing this radio show since 2010, and it's always been a friendly introduction for the people of the United States Corporation. Here we go. It's true. The United States is a federal corporation, and their exclusive jurisdiction is in the District of Columbia. The Republic government was simply a bunch of U.S. citizens that, in law, don't have access to the Bill of Rights, and they realized they wanted to be Americans, as our founders and our law provided each and every one of us. See, we've been hard at work since 2008, and since 2010, we have successfully re-inhabited the original government vacated under Lincoln in 1861. I know, it's hard to understand. Don't worry. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans and very pro-government, and we love our country. You can consider the Republic members are tired of the corruption that we see every day. See, we found in the law that there is two forms of government here on the land, and we did something about it. We are people. Mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, we have families just like you. We simply found some truths, and now we're sharing these important truths with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound amazing, and get ready to understand that you, too, are about to be a part of history. We welcome each one of you to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel and your Republic, if you so choose. But before we go into our broadcast tonight, please bow your head in prayer.
Father God, we want to thank you so much for this opportunity to just pray. Lord, just bless the people, protect them that are on this radio show tonight, and just give them grace in all that they do and tell them the truth. We thank you for them, and we thank you for their service, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Mr. Happel, I yield the floor to you.
Well, thank you, Kelby. Tonight we have a very, very special guest on our show. Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet is really, she's an American icon in the expose of the education, the dumbing down of our kids and the education system that has been progressing for the last 100-plus years to educate our children in being young communists. And Charlotte was a special senior policy advisor to President Reagan, and her original mandate was to, or at least she thought so, was to shut down the Department of Education, which in the short time that Jimmy Carter, from the time he instituted it until President Reagan was elected in 1980, had already gotten pretty much out of control. And so with that, I'd like to introduce tonight's guest, Charlotte Iserbeet. And Charlotte, would you like to maybe give our listeners a little bit of background on some of the things that you've done since the Reagan administration, but also some of the things that you did while you were there?
Well, I think the most important thing is I'm going to have to go back to the key incident that I've been on my white horse ever since then, and the horse is dirty now, but I have to explain to people why I got involved. Originally, as an elected school board member, this was in Camden, Maine in the mid-70s. I'd been abroad for 20 years working in the Foreign Service, and had, you know, been out of my country, and I came back, and I saw that strange things were going on the children were sitting on the floor rather than at tables, and they weren't getting grades, and I just was appalled. And so I asked questions. And I've made a lot of enemies because we had a lot of very liberal people coming into that gorgeous town on the coast of Maine. The liberals always choose the very beautiful places, as you in California know. So there was a lot of opposition to my opposition. And so one day I got a phone call, and I always got terrified when I get phone calls because usually people want to beat up on me, those people. And it was from a retired teacher. And she said, and I go, uh-oh. And she said she'd worked all over the world. She was a master teacher. And she said, I just want to thank you for what you're doing. You're right on. And I thought, huh? Am I? You know? And, yes, she said, but I don't think you know. I don't think you understand what's behind it all. And I said, I sure don't. And I just said, everything's been turned upside down. There's no more academics, no more grades, destructive values clarification programs, horrible sex ed, terrible stuff. And she said, well, look, I want you to go for some in-service training down east, which means a little up north in Maine, beautiful town of Shearsport, Maine. And she paid for me to go, and it was called Innovations in Education. And it was in-service training for teachers and principals. Some were from my school, good people. I knew them, most of them. Well, they were from other schools, too. And the facilitator used a book by Ronald Havelock, a professor at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. He had been funded by the United States Office of Education, which would subsequently become where I went to work, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a big, thick thing, and it had all of these incidents, or rather little case studies, from teachers and even some community members, because don't forget, they are very involved too as change agents. And everybody got a copy of this thing. And he talked to us. I'm not going to go on too long, but the most important thing that he said to us was he was teaching us how to get these wretched programs, all of which had education hanging, you know, you don't usually have drugs hanging off the end of education. You have drug education, sex education, bullying education, global education, death education. And so these were all the programs that they were trying to get in. And so he was training us on how to get them in without the parents or the community really rising up and having a revolution. And so I just couldn't, you know, my hair was sort of standing on end, but it really stood on end. It almost fell out when he said this. He taught us how to identify the resistors. And I thought, huh? I'm being taught how to identify myself. And I went back in my memory to my trip back from the Far East after I finished my tour of the Red Cross during the Korean War. And I was in third class, and there were refugees from North Vietnam and China. And I speak French, so I could understand them, and they spoke English too. And they were going to the United States or to Europe, and they were, one of them had a grandfather who was a very famous pianist in China, and he opposed the regime, and he had his hands cut off. And then there was the other one had a grandfather who was the head of a town in North Vietnam who opposed the regime, and they cut his head off, and they marched it around town on a pole. That means don't resist.
Mm-hmm.
So when this change agent, facilitator, said that, I thought, huh? This in my country?
Really? Yeah.
Okay, I had to tell you that. Because mm-hmm. that's what got me going. And that is what all of your people who are listening out there, and some even older, even ones who are maybe my age, but they've been identified as resistors. And the change agents know how to deal with you. You probably know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get
the Delphi technique. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did want to say that. Okay, so then I get off the school board and form a Guardians of Education for Maine and the Maine Conservative Union, all these things I did. And then I got pulled down into the Department of Ed. I had a good friend in the White House wonderful person. She was with the American Conservative Union, and she'd helped me set up the Maine Conservative Union. Her name is Becky Norton. And mm-hmm. she got me in. She was in White House personnel. She got me into that very important office, which really I say is the most important office in the world, dealing with education, because U.S. mm-hmm. is the most important country, right? And this was research. And it wasn't. They weren't just developing, writing, doing research and developing programs for the United States. I mean, your listeners were paying taxes for this stuff to be going all over the world, like outcome-based mm-hmm. education. You heard about that. People finally maybe know what it is. I was quite surprised to hear that Jane Robbins, you know, the American Principles, is supposed to be a conservative group. Jane mm-hmm. Robbins, the big lawyer down there, about 6 months ago said she didn't know what outcome-based education was. All of a sudden, she just found out.
Really? Wow.
Well, it was funded by the U.S. Office of Education in the 70s in Korea. That was the first pilot. I have it all in my book.
Mm-hmm.
My son has the 700-page Corrigan document called the SAFE Program, which is outcome-based ed, Skinner, dog training, workforce training, the whole thing is at my son's website. AmericanDeception.com. So you have these, I have to get this in, these conservative organizations, they aren't conservative. They have misled, they're very gullible. I was too, huh? Until I happened to end up in the belly of the beast, but I was gullible too. They were okay in 1980. They were okay in 1980.
Charlotte, I think we've all been gullible, but I really want you to tell our listeners about your special role as senior policy advisor in the Reagan White House.
Well, yep. I mean, for some reason, my boss, the assistant secretary, I don't know why he made me liaison to all these different groups that were attached to my office, which was research, the Office of Educational Research and Improvement. He made me the liaison with the National Diffusion, which is the organization that would spew out all the evil programs into every state and with the money and all. So, you always need the money. In the states, they take the money, and then they're controlled. So all of these horrible programs came out of my office. And so I was also the liaison with the White House. Why he did that, I don't know. Private Sector Initiative. Doesn't that sound cute? The White House Private Sector Initiative, Reagan. That's the merger of the public and private sector. That's corporate fascism. That's what's going in right now. That's what school choice and charters is all about. So mm-hmm. I was there. I saw their plans for school choice. I saw their plans for charters. I saw their plans for Soviet workforce training. Shortly after I got out, Ronald Reagan signed the agreements with Gorbachev. And the Carnegie Corporation signed the agreements with the Soviet Academy of Science to merge the two systems. And that wasn't just education. It was education and cultural. But let me point out, it's terribly important, those agreements also cover your municipal government and regional government and the implementation of a regional government system, which is communism. And so
right.
the agreements weren't just education and cultural. They were very, very important. And we tried to expose that. I'll tell you something, Dan. I've never written anything that wasn't boycotted by the conservative movement, 100%. We start with Back to Basics Reform, or Skinnerian International Curriculum, little 39-page book that explained everything that went on in the Department of Ed when I was there under T.H. Bell, who Reagan appointed, because Meese really chose him, and both of them are communists, I'll tell you that. Meese is a communist. I say this. I have no problem at all. Maybe it's my age. I'm going to be going out soon anyway. Meese was is, right? And T.H.
Mm-hmm.
Bell definitely was. This is Secretary of Education that Reagan appointed. And if you read his book, you'll know I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of books he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand what Meese is doing, and we'll get into that one later too. But anyway, so there I was when I was sent over to the White House. That was pretty big, the private sector initiative. I said, what are you doing? that you merge the public and private sector. This is corporate fascism. Oh, we didn't know anybody. Nobody looked at it that way. Oh, really? Well, that was when our system broke under Ronald Reagan and Ed Meese mainly and Caspar Weinberger. Our system broke away from representative government. You cannot have public-private partnerships in a representative government.
No,
you elected
can't.
Officials. It's the best thing you can say about it is it's Mussolini or Hitler. But it's also the Soviet system.
Mm-hmm.
Because it allows for the school to work agenda with the government working with, hello, Betsy DeVos and your charter schools, school choice, huh? It's the government working with industry.
Yep. And Charlotte, you know this is better than anybody. It's this this workforce education is straight out of the Soviet Union. It's teaching people strictly to make them good workers.
It is, and we got, I have it, I think it's in my book, or it's on my son's website, about 8 educators went over in 1959 after Eisenhower signed the first agreement with the Soviet Union. They went over, these educators, and I've got that report. We picked it up, believe it or not, in a, some farmer picked it up in the state office in Ohio. It was just lying around on a table.
Wow.
Incredible paper that was written by these American educators on their trip to the Soviet Union and what they learned. And what they said was good. They said, this isn't for us. This has nothing to do with us. But ultimately, that's what we put in. That's what's going in right now under, but you cannot have the Soviet workforce training or German or whatever you want to call it, Danish. You cannot have that without school choice and charters and the Skinner method, which is outcomes, results, performance-based education. They want a product. Outcomes means a product. Results means a product. Now, what's the product? It's what your child is going to be manufacturing or doing or whatever. This is, I have written about it since the 80s, and I've had everything boycotted.
Well, that's also why Bill Gates is so heavily involved in the education movement, and he states it very publicly that he wants to train good workers.
Well, they are saying it now, but, you know, they've only said it really, it's been since the turn of the century. The only people who are allowed to speak on this subject now, and I might say this is true of speakers for the conservative movement too, are those who were born after 1960 probably, who don't have any history, or 70. I've seen, let's take the Heritage Foundation. I don't want to forget this because probably if there's one thing I'm going to tell your listeners tonight, this is the most important thing of all. I've been following the Heritage Foundation since the late 70s. It's very easy for you to remember this. The Heritage Foundation has an affiliate in every single state and controls whatever so-called, in quotes, conservative activities are taking place there. Total control. They have control of the media, too. The media is in bed with them because the Heritage Foundation is not conservative. It's communist. And now I'm going to tell you why. They've done 4 things. You can check them all out yourself. They drafted the North American Free Trade Agreement. Not many people know that. Number 2, they were solidly behind and involved in Ronald Reagan's agreement with President Gorbachev of the Soviet Union in the United States-Soviet Educational and Cultural Agreements and involved with the Carnegie Corporation's agreement with the Soviet Academy of Science, which is even more devastating. Okay, that's number 2. You got NAFTA, then you got the agreements with the Soviets to put, because they needed the, because they're putting in the school to work, the Soviet system, global, lifelong, folks. I have something from the one of the National Alliance of Business. At the top of their letterhead, you know what they said? Kindergarten through age 80, workforce training.
Wow.
80, not 8. 80. This
Amazing.
Is what they're up to. Okay, now let's say Heritage. Okay, They did the agreements. Then they came along, and they supported right all along, very strong support, for tax-funded school choice and charters with unelected boards. Now, that is necessary. The school choice agenda is absolutely essential for the Soviet polytech system to be put in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because any say, and your child won't have any say in what they're going to do. It's going to be according to the quota system, like in Cuba or Korea or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
The corporation tells the education thing, which is a charter school, do you understand? They couldn't get away with this with the public school system. Rotten as it is, I mean, excuse me, but they could not get away with that because it has a school board, an elected board. And most Americans really do not want to put their children into 12 years of workforce training rather than academics. So Heritage is very big in the school choice, charters, vouchers, education savings accounts, et cetera, knowing that it is all part of the global plan, lifelong. Now, number four is the one that bothers me almost more than all the three put together. And that's the community-oriented policing system, which is modeled on the East German Stasi, which is considered the most brutal policing system the world has ever known.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest people go and do some research. There's a very good article by Detective Wirtz, I think it's at News Reviews. It's also at Rents.com. Detective Wirtz on the COPS program, what it really is. This is a detective in San Diego who tells the truth about what the COPS program is. Now, Heritage Foundation is supporting it. So you have them supporting the East German police Stasi state. You have them supporting the Soviet education workforce training at school choice and all. You have them supporting what everybody is so upset about. We lost all our jobs drafting NAFTA. And all these people in all 50 states, because of the affiliates and all the money going in there and the fancy luncheons and all this and that they have, support Heritage. They're supporting the Trojan horse.
Well, and Charlotte, that happens to be the case a lot in this country because we're told something totally different than what the reality really is.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
And most people don't do the research that's necessary to separate the sheep from the goats.
Well, it's a shame, you know, if they want to just remain ignorant, illiterate and all, fine, but don't pay to be.
Right.
I mean, they pay. Mm-hmm. And it costs me sending this stuff out on the Internet. You see it. Donate. Powell. You know what? Heritage Foundation, all these groups, these neocon groups, they supported that horrible ESSA, Every Student Achieves Act.
Mm-hmm.
They supported it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what,
no,
I
you
know your
that.
Listeners are probably great. I mean, sometimes I would like to just call in and have the listeners talk to me.
Well,
tell
I actually, we can arrange that, and we'll do another show, I think, sometime down the road. And actually, I would love to arrange that.
I would love to do it, too, because I don't think there's any way anybody can really internalize something until they themselves have asked the question. They've done some thinking about it, and ask the question. They may not have the answer, but they have to internalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I know myself. I mean, I'm not particularly bright. I'm not kidding. I don't say that to you know. I know myself. I've been very fortunate because I've been put in certain slots right through my life where I've seen a lot. And if I hadn't figured it out, I would have to be considered, you know, a 90 IQ. I have to admit, it took me quite a long time. But I'm very upset now because such an innocent-sounding thing like school choice, it just sounds like motherhood and apple pie, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And the listeners have got to know that there's a law. And it was, I think it was in the 60s. Under daycare standards, It's not Charlotte just telling them this, that they're going to be controlled. The law says that any institution that takes care of children, you know, sort of 24 hours a day or 12 or whatever, that receives money, any money, a penny, from the federal government must conform to all federal dictates, including curriculum, what you have hanging on the walls, what you have for lunch, et cetera.
Yeah,
now, that
yeah.
is in the law.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Most people don't know that, Dan.
Well, I was a county commissioner, saw that all these elected officials want to go for all these grants, and all you've got to do is read what's in those grants, and they have all these things about social justice and social engineering and all this stuff right in the language of these grants, and people that's not going to hurt anything. The heck
it means that you have to conform. But the thing is, when I was in the department, aside from all this stuff that I saw, incredible, incredible grants going out, Lansing, Michigan, one for, kindergarten children, no, I'm sorry, first graders. You know, they pee and post test them about everything goes on at home and this and that and all. And then after the year's over, they test them again to see if the brainwash took. That's for first grade. Well, these are the grants I got into up at the National Institute of Education. Oh, blew my mind. I tell you, all over the world they're going. One day I said, when I saw that one to Lansing, Michigan, I talked to the guy. He's from GAO. Very nice guy, bureaucrat. They were doing waste, fraud, and abuse thing. Reagan was doing that. And so they sent me uptown because they thought that'd keep me out of trouble, right, go to waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, that meant I had to go through the grants, huh? So I saw everything on the computer printouts. I saw all these horrible values destroying, academic destroying, all this stuff. But that, especially that kindergarten one that I saw. And I turned to this GAO guy and I said, look, we're meant to be doing waste, fraud, and abuse. I said, I understand that. But I said, you know what? I think that this particular program is wasteful, fraudulent, and very abusive. And I said, I want you to, in another way, huh? And I said, I want you to take a look at it. Because we're meant to be looking at financial stuff, right? And he looked at it. You know, as I said, Americans are really, they beat up an awful lot on bureaucrats. I mean, maybe it's because I was State Department bureaucrat and education bureaucrat and all. You know, I've been a bureaucrat, huh? They beat up a little bit too much. Because there's some really good ones in there, and there are a lot of wonderful teachers. That's so we could another interview, who hated everything that they had to do. Anyway, what he says to me, he looks at me and he said, whoa, what's that? And I said, yeah, what's that? It's pretty wasteful, fraudulent, and abusive, isn't it? And he said, yes. And I said, look, can you give me more time up here? Of course, my boss didn't know that I was working out this deal, huh? And he said, you can have as much time as you want. And then I was able to go through all of this stuff. Hmm. And I'll tell you, it's pure Marxism.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that was
yeah.
when I got out. I got myself fired because I leaked the document to Human Events. They published it, technology, putting all the computer courseware into every single school in the country. But I got all the documents out before I leaked it, which was smart, in my apartment. And that's when I got myself fired and wrote to Reagan the long letter about what had happened. And I sent you that Manchurian.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots or Manchurian Candidates. I don't know if you got that yet. But
I didn't get it yet, but I will definitely take
You should have it. It's very important because it's a funny little story that your listeners will enjoy. You know, after what, 32 years, I never got a response from Ed Meese, or he was the one who, you know, really involved, Ed Meese again, huh? And he's still over at Heritage. He's been there for how many years, 80, 20, 38 years, and he's the
long
one who's
time.
Pushing the COPS program? But anyway, so I wrote 32 years later to the Reagan Library, and I got a response. I got a response. And in it was a copy of a note that Ronald Reagan, in his own handwriting, had written to Ed Meese, because he'd read my 8-page letter telling him it was a Marxist factory, the Department of Ed. And he said, maybe I should meet with this lady. He said, obviously, I can't meet with her in the Department of Ed, right? I mean, he's pretty smart on that one. So I would have to meet with him in the White House or whatever. Anyway, that never went anywhere. I mean, that when I got that or I saw that piece of paper, I went, OMG. Mm. What? It did. He did get it. He wrote to Mies, and Mies stopped me from seeing him.
Yep, yep.
And Mies has been doing this kind of dirty work for how many years? Again, I just said it. And there he is supporting the community-oriented policing system, which is a Stasi police system, where the police are going to be running your towns right from the center of your town. They will be running everything. And no matter, you will not be able to complain about anything. The least that will happen to you would be, well, you're going to be told to shut up, right? But you're used to that, huh? No, go to jail. But who knows? If it really gets to be a real Stasi one, you'll be shot.
Yeah. Well, Charlotte, maybe I do want to concentrate on education, but maybe you should mention your son's situation.
Well, my son had two murder attempts within 6 months in Portland, Maine. My son has a very important website called American Deception, which has nothing but documents on it, original documents. A lot of them came from an elderly gentleman who was in World War II in intelligence, and he collected all this stuff and gave it to me in the 70s. And my son at that, he was 14 or something then, he was always interested in this stuff. And he said, Mom, I'm really interested in this. And then the computer world came along, and so he put all, he hand-scanned everything, including the Reese Committee. That was the first thing. The Reese Committee report was the first thing that he scanned and put up there. But what happened is we don't know whether his work had anything to do with this. We'll find out someday. But in 2015, in October, attempt was made to kill him, and we they sent the discovery materials that were returned to us were, they included an audio cassette from the police officer who was going to pop him in the head, and it says it right on the audio cassette. That was pretty stupid of them to make a mistake to let us have that. And also it says it's not federal now. Okay, so that was one case. It was dismissed. Then the next one came on Memorial Day. He's a U.S. Marine, combat Marine in Gulf War I, and terrible post-traumatic stress, all sorts of things. It was a messy war, that one. People, it's short but messy. And, you know, so he gets shot through the femoral artery on Memorial Day. And the guy who did it, they don't even, they don't arrest him. They let him go. And I've been trying to get that story out for now about 18 months. The media won't touch it. The justice groups in the United States, these conservative groups, they won't touch it either.
Mm.
As I said, they're all in bed together. Not because they're not American, because they want to make money.
Yeah. Well, that's
always
what happens.
They want your dues. They want your dues and all. So anyway, Sam was really declared dead on arrival at the hospital, bleeding to death. He was in stage 4 hypovolemic shock. The surgeon managed to save him. A couple of police officers were absolutely fantastic. One of them, 2 days after it happened, told me the whole story. We had an eyewitness 15 feet away from the house who saw everything. We had other witnesses who were on the street, heard the guy coming down the street saying, I'm going to murder you. We have everything.
Wow. And they let him out? And why did they let him out? I mean,
well, you tell me. We've been fighting this for 18 months now. What happened was after this happened, both murder attempts, we decided to file a notice of claim, a tort, against the city of Portland, the people involved in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney, the district attorney got so angry that she said, oh, I'm going to go for a jury trial. We'll fix this guy. And what they did in the jury trial, they changed the charges so that Samuel had never been charged for anything because he hadn't done anything except use his rifle, which has a laser on it, to warn this guy to get off, get away, and go home, And he didn't. He didn't go away. So Sam had always, by the police department, been considered the victim. Well, the district attorney managed to get the grand jury to call him a suspect as well as the murderer. Because she was so mad because we had said we were going to drop this lawsuit on them.
Wow.
And then the lawyer we got, he was quite good in the beginning, and then he turned on us too. Somebody threatened him. We feel, we don't really know anything. I've done a lot of work. I'm a researcher, a writer and all. I do believe, well, we did put up the list, the membership list of the order at Yale. We did do that. And we hadn't done it before, the complete list with the biographical information and all on the names, because my dad and grandfather were members of the order at Yale. I apologize, folks, but that's the way it was. And I was the only one in the world who had that, right, that list. I gave it to Sutton. But Sutton was good. He never put the biographical info in. And so about a year before my son was shot, he said, okay, Mom, I'm putting this up on the website. And he did. It's there. It's an American deception. All people have to do is just type in the word skull. And they can
see. And
that'll
pull up all the Skull and Bones members and their bio information. Huh?
Yes. Just type in the word skull. It's very fascinating. That list itself, I mean, I knew a lot of my dad's friends, of course. But when I go through there, I see, I'm not making excuses for these people, but a lot of them were in World War II in Europe and Pacific, and they saw hell. So they were young, and they'd seen hell. They'd seen people die, like World War I, horrible. And I think many of them were motivated by wanting to have a world where you just didn't have this kind of, slaughter taking place, what they'd seen. And I think they fell for the idea of the UN.
Sure, sure.
And they became very involved with NATO and all the different groups, et cetera. I mean, I had to go through and scroll through it myself on the Internet and read some of them I'd never heard of before. It's very interesting. Some are doctors, and, you've got doctors and scientists and political scientists. There's one educator who was, he was very high, very responsible for the destruction of American education. Harold Howe is his name. And I knew about him because of you guys out there in California in the 70s. You had something called the National Educator, and Jim Townsend and great Southern California gals and guys, and they had written an article in the National Educator about Harold Howe. I found it in my old documents. I was reading it one day about 7 years ago. I was reading that he was called the Czar, the Education Czar. This is the school boxing thing all started, which, of course, was nothing but to experiment with the inner-city kids, which is what they did. They used the busing in order to experiment with them with the outcome-based ed system and no grades and all this and that, which is so the workforce training. They experimented with them. Their poor test scores went down the drain. Well, how could they when they didn't have test scores? And they used them to put in this system that we've now got, the charter schools and the new education, new workforce training, the Soviet system. They used the blacks, but they used integration to do it. And this Skull and Bones type, what's his name, Harold Howe, so the Czar they called him, he was very unpopular. And I read that article, and I thought, whoa, he's talking about, we've got to disrupt all of the families who send their children to camp in the summer and have nicely mowed lawns and all this stuff. We've got to mix them all up together and everything like that. And I thought, what? I mean, because that's what's going on right now, too, with HUD. But anyway, I thought, I'm going to go look him up in the books, in the catalogs for the order at Yale. And I found him. And he was the Commissioner of Education under Lyndon Johnson. And he was very, very bad. I mean, I think he was probably the worst. I don't know, not the worst. Look at all the Harrimans and all the other ones who were listed in the order, all the evil people of the Federal Reserve and everybody else, too. including, you know, my father and grandfather, but my father never had anything to do with that stuff. He was a mayor, and he'd fight for the Constitution, you know, until the blood flowed. But
there were a lot of good patriots that got sucked into this kind of thinking. I mean, I tell people, I was a red diaper baby myself. My dad, in the 1930s, joined Workers of the World, and he swallowed this socialist communist crap, and an awful lot of them did, because what they saw happening in the world around them, they didn't like. You know,
exactly. But, I mean, sort of like the ones that I was talking about that were in World War II. Yes, I mean, you know, wait a minute. I mean, I swallowed a lot of it too.
Sure, we all did.
I can't say I'm innocent at all. I mean, we have time to go into that, but I can assure people that I was very liberal.
Oh yeah, I think we all were at one point.
My husband educated me, but he'd been through World War II occupied in Belgium, and he knew what it was all about. He also knew a lot about communism, because Belgium, interestingly enough, right after the war was over, for a year they were occupied by the communists, took over the government.
I didn't realize.
And his father
that.
Was thrown in jail because he had been a doctor, keeping medicine together. The Nazis had required that he, a prominent doctor, run the medicine system in Belgium during the war, and so he had to do that, right? But at the end of the war, the communists threw him in jail for a year in his hometown. And so my husband was very politically oriented. And so he was the one, it's a funny story. I mean, if people want to know how dumb I was. In 1976 or something, how old am I? I'm not going to tell you how old I was then, because you don't know how old I am now. But anyway, well, I'm very elderly. But anyway, all of a sudden, this woman up in, north in Maine calls me. She said, oh, you know, I'm reading everything about you in the paper. Oh, yeah, all my great coverage, right? Charlotte, good for you what you're doing, but I don't think you understand what you're looking at. And I said, I'm talking. You know, I told that to the retired teacher, too. I don't. And so she said, I'm coming down. We're going to have lunch. I'm going to bring you a book. And so she comes down with Gary Allen's masterpiece. Mm. None Dare Call It Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I started to read it, and I was in, you know, a Long Island girl, New York, and I was in New York City, and I was going out with all these guys, you know, who were from these families. I didn't know what their families were all up to, but I knew the names.
Sure.
And I'm looking at this thing, and I say, I said to my husband, Jan is his name. I said, Jan, I can't believe what I'm reading. The Federal Reserve and these corporate people and the bankers. And, I mean, this is horrible. And so I gave it to him. And he looked at me and said, didn't you know about that? I said, did you? He said, of course I did. I learned it in school in Belgium.
Wow.
And then I thought, so, you know, for people out there who are just, you know, getting onto it. Well, look, you'll never be as dumb as a rock like I was.
Oh, Charlotte, we all go through this learning curve. And believe me, none of us are, you know, born with all this innate understanding of all the issues that are around us. But the important thing is that, well, programs like this and the programs that you do literally all over the country are to get people tuned into the fact that we're living in a world that is totally, totally different than anything that they ever envisioned, and certainly anything that our founding fathers envisioned. And I think it's really important, and this is something that you can help our listeners with. My program's called Connecting the Dots because we bring all these different people with all these different things that they want to talk about. And the bottom line is that we have been led down a path into global communism, socialism, you can call it whatever ism you want, feudalism, technocracy, and the people like yourself that have been studying all this stuff all these decades, you really understand, and it's important that you tell our listeners just exactly how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Well, the rabbit hole is so terrible. I mean, it just is, when you look at the groups like the Chamber of Commerce, you know, from 1945, it supported all these things. There's a good article in my book. You have my book, right? It's by Erica Carl, and she writes everything that's supported. They supported school vouchers. Since 1945, they supported the UN. They supported regionalism, which is communism. They supported everything. This is the Chamber of Commerce, see? And these are the people that, with the school choice thing, the corporations, they've always had this agenda. It's not like it's new. But before I forget, there's something very important because there's a deadline on this. I know we've got a deadline on the program too, but on February 1st, this offer will cease to exist. I am making available free to everybody who gets in on time. It's an 8-disc set, and it's called Exposing the Global Road to Ruin Through Education. You could just put EGRTRTE. They're 8 discs, and they were the result of 2 conferences that I held, first up here in Maine, and we had all the leading researchers and public school teachers, like Mary Thompson, great, she's from California. Oh, brilliant. Mary's on one of the discs. She talks on it. And we had Rosa was here. And all sorts of top speakers at that conference. We had another conference in Georgia, and we had Anita Hoag and Jeannie Georges and our leading education researchers in the country. And I'm not kidding. They are the leaders. And we have Cuddy, you know, and all with the written submissions. That's one disc. The written submissions are terribly important. Now, I was selling that at Amazon for $40, which is really cheap, too, considering how many hours of videotaping and all, the total history of what happened. And I'm making that free.
Wow. Terrific.
Yep. It's free. Now, the all you have to do is call this number.
Okay.
706, that's in Georgia. 706-548-8161. And ask for Melanie. Melanie's a wonderful gal. She's Athens Printing published my book originally way back, and they handle all my stuff. But Melanie and I are very good friends, and she's the one you will talk to. And if you want to take advantage of this offer, all you have to do is you have to pay. Give her your credit card and pay $10 for shipping. Okay. And you know, just be sure to get in on it because the offer ends February 1st.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure I do, and I hope our listeners will take advantage of that offer as well, because I think you said that originally that DVD set was priced at $40.
Oh, yes, and that was cheap. I mean, you have
that
no idea
bargain.
How much.
Yeah.
It cost a lot to put these 2 conferences together, to bring people in. But anyway, I think it's the most important education resource out there, because you can, you know, get people in your community, your church or whoever, you know, different groups in your community, get them together and show them this. Show them what
Absolutely.
Happened.
Absolutely.
Play
yeah.
these videos. And, you know, really, I don't think there just won't be any more left. I mean, that's it, February 1st.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
the other thing is that for your listeners, it's very easy. Just write down, these are the 2 websites that are extremely important. One is, it's like my book. It's called Deliberate Dumbing Down, altogether. Deliberate, D-L-I-B-E-R-A-T-E, Dumbing, D-U-M-B-I-N-G, D-O-W-N .com. Now, when you go there, you're going to say, what a messy website, because it is. I mean, the homepage, it's got so much stuff on there. But every single bit of stuff there, you should be clicking on, especially the Back to Basics Reform, which was the first little book I wrote. I think it's 39 pages. That was written in 1985, and it was boycotted by every single conservative organization in this country. very important little book of 39 pages, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought when they boycotted that, I said, well, I'm going to write a 700-pager. Well, they boycotted that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son, the one who got shot, he said, Mom, look, let's put Deliberate Dumbing Down of America up as a free PDF. And I thought, gee whiz, I'll never sell another copy. Well, it turned out to be just the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
People started
sure.
reading it, and they thought, I can't, this great big thing. And my, you know it, you've got it. Live My Lap,
yeah.
you know, please, you know, or rather, I'd rather have the big thing in my lap than have to be looking at the computer screen.
Yeah.
So it increased the sales. That's now out of print, but we have the updated version, which is still available at Amazon.
And that's about half the like a 300 and some page one, right?
Yes, and it's very mm-hmm. good because every time we've taken something out, we make a little three little black dots or something, which means you can go to the original PDF, which is on the
mm-hmm.
Deliberate Dumbing Down, download that. You can go there and find out what was taken out.
Right, right. Well, I know the even the shorter version, though, I've heard very good things about it. Now, I have the original one. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I got your book probably at least 15 years ago.
Well, yeah. Well, did you get a hard copy or a soft cover?
It's a soft cover, but, boy, it's thick.
Yeah, I know. It really is. It's a big book itself.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of a Sears catalog or something.
Yeah, well, the other one's like a New York City telephone book.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, all of this stuff is free. There's also a very good article. You can type it into just, you know, Google. You don't have to go to my website. It's called Experimentation with the Minorities. Just type that in, and you're going to read what happened, what they did to the minorities in this country to develop this horrible workforce training system you're looking at now for all children. They used them from 1965 on with the Skinner Method. The Skinner Method's necessary for workforce training. You know, sit Fido, and the computer uses, Skinner said the computer is his box.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's operant conditioning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the website is, although it's pretty confusing looking, everything there you can click on.
Mm-hmm.
And this one section is the written submissions. That's a CD, huh? That's one of the discs. And those are all the wonderful articles that have been written by people who are no longer here, like Maureen Heaton, your great Maureen Heaton from California, who worked for Ray, who worked with Reagan, and what a story she has to tell. And she also has a great book, The Impossible Dream, which is at my son's website. And very interesting that book of Heaton's, the conservatives wouldn't touch that book either. But that book, my son said to me, Mom, you'll never believe this. The Reese Committee hearings that are also up there, 3,000 pages, Sam said, we've always had a lot of hits on the Reese Committee. He said, Maureen Heaton's book has more hits than the Reese Committee hearings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one of your great California researchers. The Impossible Dream by Maureen Heaton.
Okay.
And she tells
I will look it up.
The whole story about Reagan and what a traitor he was. Tell me something, everybody. Why does Pat Buchanan keep defending Ronald Reagan?
Well, Pat Buchanan also defends Nixon, too.
It's sad, isn't it? Because he does such good work.
Yeah, he's a good guy other than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really not too good. But I think that's sort of, you know, the most important thing is not what I told you tonight. What's important is take advantage of the disc set, go to the websites, spread the word, and I don't think it's ever too late. Because right now we're in a terrible period in this country where it's terrible diversion. Everything that we see on the major media, whether it's neocon, Trotskyite or communist, huh?
Yeah, well, it's all deep state, all of it, yeah.
Useless. Very useless stuff that is occupying us. When you should be listening to what Dan says and what your other people say, et cetera. They're, mm-hmm. What they're doing is they're confusing everybody so that they don't know if there's a difference. I mean, everybody's lying. The conservatives are lying. The liberals are lying. And people are all trying to figure out what's going on. But if you don't know they're lying, you just keep going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just
no,
shut it down and start
right.
doing your own research off of the media.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the lamestream media in this country, and you talk about the conservatives, but actually they really
yeah.
aren't conservatives. At the bottom line, most of them, and you refer to as neocons, you're absolutely right.
Well, they're Trotskyites.
You take, yeah, they're Trotskyites. That's exactly. In fact, oh, crap, now I can't think of his name. The editor that started the term neocon, Jewish guy, come on. Anyway, he said right in his articles, in his book, that it was based on Trotskyite ideas,
yeah.
the neocon movement. They believed in socialism. They believed
yep.
in big government. They just didn't believe in quite the system that the
That's
Democrats.
That's very interesting, Dan. I wish you could remember who that was.
Oh,
Irving. Not Milton Friedman. He's really bad, too. Milton Friedman. People think he's a good guy. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Irving, oh, for crying
Irving
out loud.
Irving Kristol.
Irving Kristol, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and his son
yeah.
Billy was in the Department of Ed. Oof,
yeah, well,
yeah.
And Bill Kristol, everybody thinks that you know he's a real conservative. He's a neocon. You know
oh,
his
yeah.
dad
he's
was.
And well, they
so
have Bill Bennett. The whole. I mean, look at Chester Finn, Lamar Alexander, Gene Allen. You know, just go through all of them. How did we ever? How you know? I really wonder, and I should know because I was right there while it was happening. My feeling is that at the end of, you know, in 1978, when the Department of Ed was created, et cetera, but the Democrats, they put their feet up on the table, and they said, well, we've done our job. And they really had with all this horrible values-destroying programs that they shipped out across the country. And they'd done other bad things with regionalism and all that stuff. But they put their feet up, and they said, now, finally, we've got an administration there. They can take the reins. And they let him run. And Reagan ran with it on the horse. And all these neocons, Bennett and the whole crowd came in, Lamar and all these Trotskyites, huh? And they took over. And the good conservatives that had been working in the 70s, and probably a lot of your listeners, I would say, probably some of them, are still alive. And they know that there were a very fine, we had a very fine conservative movement in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
well, we had a resurgence of it with the Ron Paul movement.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. I know. I even had a license plate remain made with Ron Paul on it. I've got it. I gave one copy, one of them, to Alex Jones. But anyway, I know I'm running over on you here.
Well, actually, what I wanted to do, we are getting close to the end of the show. Charlotte, I want you to be able to give our listeners all of your websites. You've done a lot of it already, but kind of in a nutshell, all your websites, all the areas where they can get more information, and then repeat again the information on the DVD set, and that way we can get some of these folks to take advantage of the terrific background information that you provide.
Yes, well, I'm going to ask them, first of all, they should, Soviets in the Classroom, America's Latest Education Fad, is a flyer, and it's short, and it tells the whole story, and the, again, the conservatives boycotted that, but a wonderful conservative by Bob Morris, good friend of mine, he was high up in the movement and all, he found that 4 years later after it had been boycotted, my stuff and all. In the bottom of his desk, he went over to work for America's Future, and he found that manuscript, and he called and he said, what is this? He was the counselor for the Senate investigating communism in the schools earlier on. He said, what is this? So it's a classroom. Okay, and he published it. which was great. And it is on the internet, and all people have to do is type in, either go to my website for it, deliberatedummydown.com, or you can just Google it. Okay. Soviets in the Classroom, America's Latest Education Fad, and it'll pop right up for you. That's
okay,
very
good.
Important. Now, a lot of these things, like Back to Basics Reform or Skinnerian International Curriculum, OBE, 1985, boycott it again, that is on the, you can type that, Google that in too, and you'll just get it, bang, right up. You don't even have to go to my website. But if you can't find these things, you know, just by typing it into your search engine, just go to deliberatedumbingdown.com. Now, the other one is my son's website, which is fantastic. And Paul Fisher, who was the expert on the Masons, Masonry, probably one of the top experts in the world, told Bob Goldsboro, who I know very, very well, a good friend of Norman Dodd, he said that what Sam has on the American Deception website is the finest collection of research on Masonry that he had ever seen.
Okay, and that American Deception website is AmericanDeception.com?
Yep, that's all, AmericanDeception.com. And you have to forgive Sam. He has not done the kind of work that he could do to bring it up to make it look good, up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
But all the documents are there. But since he had this horrible, I always want to say it's an accident, but, you know, murder attempt, he has not, you know, the hypoxia, his memory's gone, and he hasn't been able to really do much work on it. But it's a fantastic website, and just, you know, he apologizes for how it may look in certain ways. People might want to pick it apart, but all the documents are there.
Okay. Well, that's the important thing, information out. Charlotte, I hate to say it, but we have run out of time, and I know you're supposed to be on another radio show right after mine, so all I want to say is thank you on behalf of our listeners, and I look forward to the next time we get a chance to visit.
Well,
and,
thank you, Dan, and all your listeners. Let me give you that Georgia number again.
Yes, yes.
706-548-8161. Ask for Melanie, and you want the disc set, and she'll send it, but you need to give her $10 for shipping, okay?
Okay, I will take advantage of that offer myself.
Yeah, please.
All right.
Do.
Well, thank you again, Charlotte, and I want to thank our listeners for joining again this week, connecting the dots. And with that, Kelby, I'll turn the show back over to you.
Thanks a million, everybody.
Ladies
God
and gentlemen,
you.
That concludes this week's show with Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. God bless. Good night. We'll see you next Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific.